I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Hello, Seahawk fans, and welcome into the regular season finale of Hawks Talk here on CSN and iTunes. It's hard to believe that the season has already come and gone, but after Seattle's 25-23 win over the 49ers on Sunday, that's where we're at. Now, whether they're ready or not, the playoffs are here for the Seahawks. After last night's contest between the Detroit Lions and the Green Bay Packers went final, the matchup is now set next Saturday night, 5:15 on NBC, Seattle will host the Detroit Lions in the opening round of the playoffs. But yesterday's outcome in the Seahawks game did little to dismiss the concerns that have been mounting about this team and their play and their mental focus as of late. Because of the circumstances surrounding the game, and if you haven't heard, it was the impending firing of the 49ers head coach Chip Kelly and their GM Trent Baalke. Compounded with the complete lack of talent that San Francisco is putting out in the field, and they are so depleted of playmakers, it's almost scary. Anything less than a wire-to-wire, dominating, suffocating win would have kind of kept those concerns alive, and that's exactly what happened. Seattle's play was sloppy, they were sluggish. They had 10 yards of offense after the first quarter, which is the fourth time this season they've been at less than 30 yards after one quarter. It's the second week in a row that's happened, both against below 500 teams, Arizona last week, San Francisco this week. They had an extra point blocked. They snapped the ball over John Ryan's head on a punt, which led to a safety. They trailed 14-3 before the offense even found some life, so It was this weird concoction of slow start and sloppy play, and it's things that have just been happening over and over and over again. And the issues that plagued them on Sunday were kind of a microcosm of the ones that have been dogging them throughout the season. Their record on the year, they finished 10-5-1. It wasn't close to representing the way they actually played. They were aided by playing in the NFC West, which featured three other teams that finished below 500. And it's fair to wonder, especially the way they played the final 4 or 5 weeks of the season, if Seattle would have been game planning for a playoff game next week if they were in a different division or if they would just be going home. The bright spots that were evident throughout the year, and there were some, to be sure, the marked overall improvement of Russell Wilson, the emergence of Jimmy Graham as a valuable weapon in this offense, Thomas Rawls' play when he was healthy, Doug Baldwin establishing himself as arguably one of the best slot receivers in the league. Those things essentially carried Seattle yesterday to the win. Now, the issues that bit them during the season, the offensive line, the inconsistent defense, those were also present. It's hard to decipher which unit's going to be more concerning going into the playoffs, the offensive line or the defense. The line's been a weird cocktail this year. They've been decent, then they were bad, and sometimes they've been awful. It usually depended on the week and the opponent, but some variation of those three has been their calling card week in and week out. Now, the defense, on the other hand, has been really hard to define. They started out the year super strong, looked like they were going to be a normal Seahawk defense of old. They still rank in the top seven in the league overall, but they have not been the same since Earl Thomas was lost for the season a few weeks back. They're still giving up only 18 points per game on the season, but that number has almost gone up 3 whole points over the last 6 weeks. They ended the season with games where they gave up 38 points to Green Bay, which could have been a lot worse, 34 to the Cardinals last week, and perhaps most egregious was the 23 they gave up yesterday. Well, 21, I guess, if you want to get technical, since the special teams gave up a safety. But regardless, that San Francisco team had no business scoring 3 touchdowns on almost anybody, let alone a Seahawks team that has used defense as their calling card in the past and still touts it as their strength. 21 points to this 49ers team, which looks as inept as any team we've seen in the past decade. You know, it's really a shame, actually, that this is off the subject a little bit, but it's really a shame that Chip Kelly was let go and it was made official after the game. And whether his offensive philosophy ultimately works in the NFL or not, we may never know, because this, who knows if he's going to get another shot. But to try and judge his success based on the results with this roster is preposterous, because they have absolutely nobody that can do what his offense is designed to do. Now, after the game, Russell Wilson did speak to the media. He came out in the fourth quarter, which was nice. They were able to get Trevon Boykin in there, get him some reps. Once the result of the Atlanta-New Orleans game looked like it was going to be official, because once Atlanta had that win wrapped up, Seattle was locked into the third seed, and there was nothing else that they could do. So Wilson took the media. He talked about that and talked about the game and kind of talked about the season in general.
Another 10-win season, that's obviously huge. When you think about 10 wins every year or more, and it's not easy to do in the National Football League. And I think it comes down to consistency. I think it comes down to hard work, players playing for one another. Our coaching staff is unbelievable, and we believe in them, and they're having the best fans in the National Football League. So obviously we get to go to the playoffs again. That's an exciting thing. We're pumped up for that. It's going to be obviously a great time, and it's a new season, starting 0-0, and whoever we play, we're excited about the opportunity to play at home in front of our amazing fans.
How uncomfortable it was for him pulling you from the game and other guys and letting off the gas. I'm sure for you it was an odd feeling.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to trust coaches and his opinions and what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's coach, you know, one of the best coaches in the National Football League, a Hall of Fame type coach. And so in terms of taking us out, I guess I didn't know the situation with the Atlanta thing. So I guess he took a lot of us out once we figured out they won or were winning by a lot. And so, I don't think it's a bad decision. I love playing. So anytime I can be out in the field as much as I can, but it was a great thing. I think Boykins did a great job. That was exciting to see him step up for us. He's worked so hard, and to be able to work with him every day and that part of it is really, really exciting for him. So to be able to step into a National Football League game and to be able to move us down the field and get those big third downs when we needed to. He had a nice scamper run, and he hit Marcel in the flat. That was really cool. And then he had the nice one to Luke. So that was great. So that's an encouraging thing for us. And to see guys step up in crucial moments, it's always good. And all we care about is winning. That's all I've ever cared about. And so to get another win, like I said, 10 wins again, that's the exciting part, and on to the playoffs.
Did you know before that drive that you might be coming out? What was your reaction?
No, I didn't know. I'm always never thinking about that. You know, I'm always thinking about playing. So, but you know, when coach made a decision, I was for it. I saw that some other guys weren't playing too, and he just made those decisions. And we knew that we're going to have a home game, and so that was kind of our focus, trying to get some rest and trying to get ready, allow nothing crazy to happen. So we're excited about the opportunity, obviously, to come back home in front of the 12s. I know everyone in Seattle will be pumped up and ready to roll, so we can't wait for the opportunity to play a playoff game at home.
Did you need Boykins to yell at you because you were coming out? I mean, you've never done it.
I thought maybe he was coming in a receiver. Maybe he was playing. No, I'm just kidding. I understood what he was trying to do when he was doing it. That decision I support, understand. Once again, I always love to play as much as I can. You only get so many days you get to play this great game, and you're so passionate about it. That's why every moment counts, And so it was a great thing, though, that Trevon was able to get in there and do so well. That's an exciting thing for our football team, and that was great.
Can you take us through that big play to Jimmy Graham where he had the defender kind of boxed out near the goal line?
Well, we had a 7'2" tight end that can jump out the roof. You want to give him a chance. And so obviously it was a scramble play. He went deep and made a great, great catch, boxed out the guy. And I made fun of him. I said, hey, little guy, can't you get in the end zone right there? But it was a great play by him. He's got great hands. He trusts him like crazy. He can do everything that we want him to do. He's had an unbelievable season. So many guys have made so many crucial plays. Think about Doug Baldwin. I think he had 90-plus catches, 94 catches or something like that. Franchise record. You think about Jimmy Graham on the season that he's had. In my opinion, I keep saying this to you guys, I think he's the comeback player of the year just because of the impact that he's had, and to be able to overcome the situation that he had physically and to play at such a high level week in and week out, to make all the catches that he made, there's nobody better. So it was a great thing. But once again, another huge team win. Guys were making plays all over the field. Jermaine Kearse made a couple nice catches. So many guys making plays.
Now, Wilson addressed it there. And it may be really the only saving grace right now, but Seattle does get a home game, and that is huge. They've won 9 playoff games in a row at home. They were 7-1 this season. Only the Arizona loss last week is their only blip. And Detroit, as you probably know, does not exactly have a dynamic playoff track record. So in reality, they should be okay next week. But going past that, who knows? Wilson also joked about Jimmy Graham standing over 7 feet tall. I think he said he stands about 7'2". But it was a joke. But he clearly has become a huge weapon for this team. The one that really Seattle didn't have last year in the playoffs, because his entire first year with the team was kind of a wash. He was battling injuries. We've talked about it this year a lot. He was battling injuries. He didn't know the system. Wilson didn't know him, and they were not on the same page. So while they may have lost Marshawn Lynch from last year, which is someone they cannot replace, the offensive line is worse, they do have Graham, and that's a huge thing to insert into the game plan they didn't have last year. So it'll be really interesting, especially in the playoffs. Everything kind of tightens up a little bit. So when you have an outlet and a tight end like Graham, hopefully they can find ways to utilize him and make him an even bigger factor than he's been this year. Head coach Pete Carroll, he also took some time to chat after his 5th consecutive 10-win season.
Well, we got done what we had to get done today. We got our win, got out of here, and real proud of the statement of winning 10 games for 5 years in a row. I think that's pretty darn good, 10 or more. It just shows you the commitment of these guys and their ability to keep coming back and staying with it. So it doesn't mean a whole lot to anybody else, but just for the consistency part of it, it's something that we're proud of, and I like that. In today's game, we had a chance to win it and try to take care of some guys. I don't know if you could tell or not. I'm sure you're wondering, but we were able to do that once we heard what was going on the other game. So whether that's right or wrong or not, I felt like I was in outer space with that. And it was very uncomfortable. And I can't remember really doing it like that. Maybe I have, but I can't remember it. It's just uncomfortable to have to do that. But that's why we took Russ out and Mike B and Jimmy and Doug and a bunch of guys, just trying to put as little pounding on them as possible going into next week. And so I thought it was a great job of Boykin to get in there and get it done, put together a great drive for the guys up front to finish the game 5:40 or something on the clock, and to finish the game on offense is a great statement for our guys and everybody that was on the field came through. Tanner did a good job. Trayvon did a good job. Guys up front did a good job. So I was really fired up for that. So here we go. It's time. And these guys are really pumped. They know it's finally time to get ready for playoffs. We don't know who we're playing. We don't care. We're just going to get a little trip, get home, and a little Happy New Year, and away we go next week.
You felt in outer space compared to the players, to your staff?
No, just because I'm not making the decisions to just do everything we could possibly do to win the game. I never am in that frame of mind, and I'll always challenge that thought. I hate backing off at any time ever. I can't remember doing it very, very many times, and ever. So just thought we needed to do something to do what we could to protect ourselves for next week.
When did you determine you would do
that? Well, you could see when Mike stopped playing, I think, was we had Mike coming out of there. We had Jimmy coming out.
When in the week?
No, I didn't think about it. I didn't even think about it. And did not have a plan for it. I did not want to be planning for that. It just kind of happened that it seemed like we needed to do something to help. And it worked out fine. So I ain't worried about it one bit.
When they cut the lead, did you think about putting Russell back in?
No. We're going to finish it the way we went.
What's the outlook for this team now going into the playoffs?
We're going. We're playing at home. Whoever comes in, we're fired up and ready to go. Pretty healthy across the board. These guys are really excited about whatever comes up, and we're looking forward to getting this thing started.
Was how you used Rawls part of the preservation backing
mm-hmm.
off a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
How did Alex Collins look?
I thought he looked really good. Alex did a fine job. He's made some really good statements here the last few weeks and really gives us a very comfortable thought that he can get in there and do some good stuff and catching the ball as well. Had a really good pickup and protection today as well as around the ball, so good stuff.
The way the defense kind of responded to those early.
Yeah, I mean, we gave up 2/3 of their yards in the first 2 times they had the ball, it seemed, and then the guys adjusted beautifully. The coaches did a really good job. Chris did a fine job of just shifting some things around so that we would match up the way we needed to fit the plan that they were throwing at us. And it worked out great. And I would like to say that I thought the Niners played tough as hell today. I thought they did a really good job. They're in it all the way and battling in all phases. And I thought that was really clear. They did a nice job.
What do you think overall of just the way the defense has played these past few weeks going into the postseason?
We're going to be fine. We're going to give it everything we got. I ain't worried about that. All that worries that you guys have, I ain't got them. We're going to go play football the way we know how to play and go for it. And one game at a time, just like we always do, it's a championship opportunity, and we're going to crank it up and go.
We got the win. We got out of here. That's, as he said there, and that's really all about Pete could say. And they did, in fact, get their starters out, like I said, in the fourth quarter. They got Boykin out. They got a lot of their skill position guys out. And they got some valuable reps for the backups, which, you know, you hope that you don't have to go to in the playoffs, obviously. We saw it in Dallas yesterday as well, as they got Tony Romo in there and got Mark Sanchez some reps. And these teams have a really delicate balance to play. And I think in reality, it was a good thing that the Atlanta-New Orleans game was out of control or out of hand as early as it was, because so someone could go to Pete and say, listen, barring some kind of a miracle, Atlanta's not going to blow that game. Let's get Russell out of there, because he's been, the first 6-7 weeks of the season, he was so banged up, and we saw how different that offense was when he didn't have his legs. By getting him out of there in the fourth quarter, and, you know, this game, whether they won or lost was irrelevant, but in these kind of games, that's when things happen, because, San Francisco, despite only getting 2 wins on the year and really not being competitive in a lot of them, they still have pride, and they're going to go out there and play their hardest. And, as much as Wilson would say, and he would never admit to it, that maybe, in the fourth quarter of a game that's now meaningless, he probably wouldn't be giving it 100%. But that's when guys end up getting hurt. So it was a really good thing from a timing standpoint, and I don't think it's something they really banked on, because both games started at the same time yesterday. But the fact that Atlanta was pulling away, that one became official, and they said, all right, get him out of there. So they got some really valuable backup minutes, backup reps, and, going forward, who knows? If Trevon Boykin ends up having to go in and play a playoff game, I think you can probably write this thing off. But, hey, every single rep helps get down the road. With that, here's three things that I learned as the Seahawks headed to their fifth straight playoff appearance. All under Russell Wilson, all under Pete Carroll. Number one, Detroit can sling the ball. Now, they don't do much on the ground, but Matthew Stafford will come in and he will throw the ball, and he'll try to throw it all over the Seattle secondary. He'll attempt to. And Seattle's secondary has really struggled lately, as we talked about. So this will be the matchup that most determines the outcome. Detroit also will not be intimidated. At one point this season, they had won, I believe, 8 games when trailing in the fourth quarter. Like the first 8 games of the year they won, they trailed in the fourth quarter in all of them. So they're a veteran team. They clearly are not going to, if they fall behind, they're not going to think that the game's over, even with that Seattle crowd in front of them. And although facing Detroit is a much better alternative than facing the Packers, which would have happened had Detroit won last night, this will not be a slam dunk. And just because Detroit doesn't have the playoff success that Seattle has, don't overlook it. Matthew Stafford's having a rejuvenated year. Golden Tate has been a revelation for him. They have a lot of talent on offense, especially, and they can give Seattle's defense fits. Number two, it's not usually the recipe you want to go into the playoffs with, but at this point you have to say the running game will not help Seattle at any point this postseason. Done. It's over. The experiment to try and establish a consistent running game fell flat. The line can't open up any holes consistently, and that's the problem. They can get a hole open to every fifth or sixth play, but even by that point, it's too late because they don't have the trust in it to try and establish anything. So if Seattle's going to win 1, 2, 3, 4 playoff games, it's going to be about 80% through the air. That's what they've been from a yardage standpoint. That's about where they've been this year. And there's no way around it anymore, and that means that guys like Paul Richardson, Javon Kearse, they need to step up and play bigger than they have been all year. It's going to be Jermaine Kearse. Seattle cannot rely on Doug Baldwin and Jimmy Graham alone anymore. Those two alone will not accomplish anything, not in the playoffs. In the regular season, you might be able to get away with it. Now, it's time for Richardson and Kearse to step up. If they want to be a part of this team and they want to have an impact going forward, now is the time. Number three, it didn't get talked a lot about after he was injured last week because a lot of his emphasis lately and his focus has been on the receiving end, as he's really tried to establish himself as a number two receiver. But not having Tyler Lockett as a punt returner could be really dangerous because for as talented as he is and tenacious, Richard Sherman looks so uncomfortable returning punts. They actually made a segment out of it on the game yesterday, kind of, lighthearted and joking about it. But they showed him pregame, he's bobbling balls, he was dropping balls, he was calling really outlandish fair catches in times when he should have been returning it, times that he definitely should not have been returning it. And if I'm Pete Carroll, I would really think about putting someone else in as punt returner. Maybe they're less explosive, but they're more in control. Because in the playoffs, you don't necessarily need a punt return for a touchdown. I mean, yes, it would be a huge help, but the risk-reward of having Sherman in there, I don't think is worth it. The last thing this team can afford is a Sherman bobble or a fumble in the return game. The margin for error this season is too small, and it's not worth the potential of him returning one. I would put someone much more sure-handed in there. Get a Doug Baldwin in there. Get a Curse in there. Get a Paul Richardson in there. Get someone that maybe won't have the ability to take it to the house, but will catch the ball cleanly and give you a new possession. Well, the situation's been laid out. Seattle got the home game they desired. Now, they're not rolling into the playoffs, but as I've said all year long, despite the inconsistent play and the poor offensive line play, and we're going to beat that to death until the season's officially over, when this team is focused and they're playing well, they have as good a chance as anyone. Because from a talent standpoint, they are right there at the top of the NFL. They've been there before. They know how to win. They get a game at home to get some momentum and get some confidence. And the teams ahead of them, Atlanta, Dallas, do not have the playoff experience that Seattle does. And if anybody's going to get rattled, it's one of those two teams. It's not going to be the Seahawks. The chance is there. The opportunity is there. If they can focus and they can get some kind of play out of the offensive line, give Wilson some kind of time, and the defensive secondary especially can get a little bit of improvement over the last few weeks, you never know what could happen. Well, we're going to be back next Saturday with a special playoff preview of Hawks Talk leading up to the game between the Seahawks and Lions, which I said kicks off Saturday night at 5:15 on NBC. Thanks so much for listening this season. This was our first year on CSN. The first year we're going to do it. We're going to be back next year. It's been a lot of fun. It's been really been a pleasure doing this, but it's not over yet, thankfully. We get a playoff game to talk about. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, too. So, again, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Joel Gunderson, as I've been every week this season. This is Hawks Talk on CSN.